Welcome to our services this morning. Glad to have each of you as we share together in a time of worship and praise to God. This morning I'd like to share with you a sermon on Thanksgiving, but before that I just have to say a little postscript to this last week. It has been a busy and wonderful week. Amen? The gospel meeting, three families placing membership in the last week, a baptism, about 20 people responded for prayer. Many of them strong Christians just wanting God to work in their lives in a unique way. And this is a good thing. This is a good thing. It's a good thing in the life of the church. So today we're going to refocus on Thanksgiving, the day coming up on Thursday before us. This morning a sermon is from Luke chapter 15 on how to have a joyous, or if you really prefer, a miserable Thanksgiving. I'll tell you how to have both. You know, Thanksgiving is the least commercialized of the holidays, major holidays, and I love that. And I realize that sometimes we can get a little out of focus with food and family and football and all of those things. And that's not bad in themselves, but ultimately Thanksgiving is about giving thanks to God, giving Him glory, remembering the source of our blessings. James tells us every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Lord is our giver of gifts. And as we gather together with family and friends on Thanksgiving Day to give thanks for the blessings we have, let's do so giving thanks to God as the giver of those blessings. So Thanksgiving is not just an excuse for a party. It's a time for spiritual reflection and gratitude. Now, most of us would say, you know, I know that. I've got a lot of blessings, but my life's a little like this glass of water. How much water's in here? What is this? Half full, right? Half empty. Thank you, Yvonne. I wanted somebody to say that. Because most of the time, our life's a little bit like this glass. We have a lot of blessings. We have many things which we appreciate and enjoy. And yet, you know, we could use just a little bit more. It's been said the average American wishes their salary is about 20% more, no matter how much they make. That's just the irony of life. All of us have a glass that's part full and part empty, don't we? And you've probably seen that illustration before. We have a life that's part full and a life that has some areas that we'd like things to change and things to improve. And it depends on which side of the glass you want to focus on. You can say, well, my glass is only half full. But usually we say, my glass is half empty. You know, I don't get all I want. I really wish I had more. I wish I had something different. And we forget the blessings we do have. Thanksgiving is a time to focus on those blessings. And that little glass is there for two reasons. I might need a little of it water before the sermon is over as well. The Bible has a recipe, if you will, for misery. If you want to have a miserable Thanksgiving, it has a recipe for that. And I'm going to share that for you. But I'll tell you what the Bible does say about giving thanks, that we need to frame it right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Many, many years ago, I heard Ira North preach. Anyone ever heard Ira North preach? He preached for a very large Church of Christ back in Nashville, Tennessee. And I remember he preached on this verse. And even to this day, I remember what he said. He said, "Brethren, the Bible doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances. It says be thankful in all circumstances." Now, that's probably not the best Ira North accent. Somebody can do a better job than me. But that's basically the way he said it. The Bible doesn't tell us to be thankful for everything that happens, but no matter what is happening, find good in it. Look for the glass half full. Look for the blessings that are coming your way. Look for how God is at work in your life. Be thankful for what you do have and not just thinking about what you don't have. And you know what? That really helps my Thanksgiving. When I'm thankful for what I do have, give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. Everything that's going on is not good. We live in a fallen world, amen? We live in a fallen world, but give thanks in all circumstances. Find something that you can be thankful for in the midst of the problems of your life right now. Gratitude and joy that accompanies it in my head and my heart means more than my circumstances. Now, I assure you, I'd rather have money in my wallet than not. And I'd rather have electrical and plumbing that works instead of not work. And I'd rather not have flat tires than have flat tires on my car. And you go the list on. But the point is, giving thanks in all circumstances, not necessarily for everything that happens, But in whatever happens, finding some good that God has blessed us. By the way, how could we say that God could command gratitude if we had to be thankful for everything, including things that are evil that come into our life? No, we are to be commended to be thankful in all things, not for all things. One more introductory thought. Gratitude needs to be directed to a person. There were two ladies who were friends. One happened to be a Christian and the other was the atheist. But they loved each other. They didn't let their theological differences keep them from friendship, and they enjoyed even taking vacations together and traveling together. And one time they went to a particularly picturesque place and they saw this wonderful sunrise. And the atheist said to her friend, "Oh, I'm grateful to see the sunrise." And the Christian said back, "Grateful to whom, my dear?" You see, gratitude involves not just being thankful to receive a blessing. It means thankful to someone for providing the blessing. True gratitude is not just being glad you have something. It's not just saying, "I'd rather have a car with a good tire than a flat tire," but being thankful that I have the good tire. And to whom do I owe thanks? Well, you can go through the list, okay? The person who designed the tire, the mechanic who put it on, the salesman that sold it to you. You know, you go through the list. Well, you get my point. Gratitude is deepest when we're thankful to the person who supplied the blessing. And that's why James tells us, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Well, remember, the source of our blessings is ultimately from God. So let's take a look this morning at a very familiar passage of Scripture. Open your Bibles to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. It's the story of the prodigal son. I'm going to tell it rather than read it. Most of you are very familiar with the story. The story actually starts out, though, with these two verses of Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him, that is Jesus. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." The religious leaders have a problem with Jesus because Jesus will meet with anybody. Jesus isn't careful about who he has coffee with. Jesus doesn't matter who he meets with, who he enjoys, who he influences. And the Pharisees say, "Well, he's even table fellowship with those sinners over there. That's wrong. He can't be a good religious teacher because he gets along with those people over there. And we know what those people do." Then Jesus tells three parables about lostness. Lost sheep, lost coin, and lost son. And we know the last one is the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son, as we called it. But you know, in a sense, we could call it the sermon about two bad boys, not just one. Because there's an elder brother who has seemed to be good all of his life who also has a problem. Here's the basic story, as Jesus tells it. A man had two sons, and the younger one came to his father and said, "Dad, I want my inheritance." Well, his father was living and breathing in front of him. He wasn't dead. The guy didn't deserve any inheritance yet. But the young man asked it, and believe it or not, the dad divided his property and gave half of his property to the younger son. Well, the younger son, having a full bank account at this point, decided he was going to leave home. He went to a far country, and he lived wildly, and he spent every dime. Well, what do you do when you're down and out and don't have anything to eat? Well, you find a job that you can get. And he found, as a Jewish young man, found a job feeding pigs. You know, that's kind of about as going as low as you can if you're a Jew, is feeding pigs. And the Bible says, Jesus said to that this man longed to fill his belly with the pods that the pigs were eating. He wanted pig slop. He was so hungry. And then finally he came to his senses and he said, "You know what? My dad's servants have it better than I do. I'm going to go back home to my father, say, 'Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I don't deserve to be called your son anymore. Make me one of your servants.'" And lo and behold, the boy came home. But the father must have been watching, because when the son was coming down the driveway, and it must have been a long drive, the Bible says a long way off, the father saw him a long way off, went and ran to him, embraced him, kissed him, And then the son started in his little repentance speech. Father, I sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your servants. Father wouldn't hear it. The father was so glad to have his boy home. He said, we're going to have a party. Go kill the fatted calf and let's get a party together and let's put a robe around him and let's put sandals on his feet. This son of mine was lost and is found. He was dead, he's alive again. They began to celebrate. Well, the older brother, who had stayed home the whole time and been the good kid in the household, you know, he hears this music and dancing going on, and he comes into the compound and says, what's going on around here? I didn't get the memo. Last part is a little bit, you know, filling in scripture. And the servant said, well, your brother's home and your dad's killed the fatted calf for him and we're celebrating because he's got him back safe and sound. The brother must have crossed his arms and went, ugh. And he refused to go to the party. So the father, who was hosting the party, left the party, goes and speaks to his older son and says, son, your brother's home. Come on and have a party with us. And the older brother said, I have slaved for you all of these years and you never even gave me a young goat so I could have a party with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered living with prostitutes, comes back, you welcome him and throw him a party. The father says, son, everything I have is yours. Come and we had to celebrate because this son of mine was lost and is found, was dead and is alive again. And that's the story that Jesus told to explain why he enjoys being with those who are lost people, who are far from God, who need God. Because God rejoices over the return of the lost ones. And you know that story. And you say, Mark, what in the world does that have to do with Thanksgiving? I'm glad you ask. Because if you want to have a miserable Thanksgiving party, all you got to do is be like the older brother. The older brother. The older brother had heart trouble. Listen to the attitudes of his heart. Listen to what his mistakes were, the lies that he was telling himself. Number one, I must earn what I receive. Look, all of these years I've been working for you. I never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat could I celebrate with the friends. And you've killed the fatted calf. The older brother didn't believe in grace. Everything that he did was seen as a transaction between him and his dad so that he would receive what he deserved in this household. The older brother's heart was far from home, although his body stayed at home. You know some folks that don't believe in grace? Folks who think they must earn everything. They can't receive a gift, not even one, without some strings attached. And they carry this little black book of who owes you what in their minds. This attitude of graceless living comes from a deeper attitude. And the second lie the older brother told himself is, I am totally self-sufficient. I can make it on my own, thank you very much. And I must be this way. The unforgiving heart of the older brother is proverbial. The older brother felt like he was self-sufficient. He didn't need forgiveness since he hadn't left home. He hadn't gone into the far country. He hadn't squandered an inheritance. He had stayed home and done the right thing. Such prideful self-sufficiency leads to a disdain for other people. If you want to have a miserable Thanksgiving, say you're totally self-sufficient. You don't need anybody else. Number three, be like the older brother if you want a miserable Thanksgiving. I must refuse to forgive until every wrong is righted. Well, if they would just come forward and just say they're sorry, then I might, and you know, if they try to make up for it in some way, then I just might forgive them. That's the attitude of the older brother, isn't it? We can't always undo the past. Have you noticed that? We can't always undo. We can't always make up for the past. Living in grace, we cannot and should not feel like we must make up for everything in the past. We want to make things right as much as we can when we've wronged someone else, but we should not expect that from others. The older brother expected it from others. Forgiveness is a gift you give yourself. Fourth attitude, fourth lie the older brother told himself is, I'm going to blame my source of blessings for all my problems. Notice again what the old boy said. You never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours, you provided the fatted calf for him. In other words, Dad, it's your fault. It's all your fault. Have you noticed how anger blames other people? When someone is greatly angry, they don't ever look introspectively on themselves. It's their fault. Always pointing a finger. But you know what I've always noticed? When somebody points a finger there, how many are pointing back at themselves? Quite a few, right? Count them. Ultimately, the older brother lived a graceless life, a miserable life. He didn't have a Thanksgiving. He wouldn't come to the party. He wouldn't be grateful because he had all these tapes in his mind. I have to earn what I deserve. I earn what I receive, and I must be totally self-sufficient, and I won't forgive until every right is wronged. And I'm going to blame the source of my blessings. I'm going to blame the source of my blessings when things go wrong. That's the older brother. But you know what? There's somebody else who teaches us how to have a joyous Thanksgiving, and that is the dad in this story. The father, of course, represents God, and the father knew joy, and the older son did not. The father knew joy because the father was hopeful. You know the story. The optimist sees this glass as, well, it's not half full, it's half empty. What would they do with the top half of the water? 1 Corinthians 13 says, love hopes all things. How do I know the father was hopeful? Dad was watching the driveway. He was watching the road. He was watching for the son coming down the road. He was hoping and he was praying. He wasn't going to go chase the son down, but he was hoping and praying that the son in his heart would repent and turn home. The father was hopeful. The father was forgiving. The inheritance was lost. It was squandered. But the boy was home, and guess what? The boy was worth far more than any of the money. Forgiveness helps us keep things in perspective. Forgiveness says the relationship is worth more than the offense against me. Since forgiveness is ultimately an attitude of gratitude toward God, a spirit of unforgiveness hinders our relationship with God. Jesus said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive them. If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father in heaven will not forgive you of your sins. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Now, forgiveness is not calling black, white, and all of that kind of thing, or wrong, right. It's not saying that it didn't hurt. Forgiveness simply says, I'm going to move beyond the pains of the past because of the hope for the future. Forgiveness is a gift we give ourselves, a decision to let go of revenge. The father didn't try to dissect the son's sin. He just forgave him. He was so glad to have him home. And when we forgive like the father, we have an opportunity for a joyous Thanksgiving. And then number three, the father knew how to celebrate. A joyous Thanksgiving is a time to celebrate. Celebrate family, celebrate friends, celebrate the blessings of God. Maybe even celebrate a little pecan pie or pumpkin pie, whatever you like. Whipped cream is optional. Thanksgiving doesn't have to be a sober holiday. Where do we get the idea that spirituality has to be deadpan serious all the time? Not in the Bible, not from Jesus, not from the story of the prodigal son. Jesus, in fact, was accused of being a friend of sinners and tax collectors. He didn't mind that at all. And the father, number four, sought reconciliation of his boys to each other. Thanksgiving is a time for reconciliation. It's letting bygones be bygones. Everybody develops some pain in their relationships of life. Have you noticed that? You cannot have relationship without pain. In this life, you will have trouble. Some of those troubles come with people attached. And some of those people are family members or dear friends that have hurt you. Thanksgiving is a time to bury hatchets. It's a time to say, I'm going to forgive. It's a time to reconcile. It's a time to celebrate family, even when your family is not perfect. The father sought reconciliation of his boys to each other. Jesus said elsewhere, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." In families, there's often internal tension. And sometimes that tension comes to a forefront at holidays because we haven't let go of the grudges and we haven't processed the hurts. Let's do that before Thanksgiving and make Thanksgiving a time of joy. And here's the bottom line. The older brother had a miserable time because he chose to. He focused on himself, made what should have been a day of celebration a day of misery. And we can do the same if we ignore grace in our lives and think we live in total self-sufficiency. Thanksgiving is a day to remember our dependence upon others and upon God. The God of heaven recognizes we're all prodigal children. The older brother and the father experienced similar circumstances, but they interpreted the prodigal's behavior entirely differently. The older brother chose to make himself miserable because he wanted to do everything by the book. And this boy over here, this kid brother, has sinned grievously and he'd squandered an inheritance and he was worth trash and he wasn't welcome at this family's table. But the father ran out to meet the boy, threw his arms around him and said, "Welcome home, son. I'm so glad to see you." The prodigal son found joy in acceptance. Remember, he had his speech all memorized. "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants." And the father said, "Hush, son, you're home." And when we come before God with our confession and say, "Lord, I've messed up. I've done this. I've done that. This was not your will." God says, "I'm so glad to have you home." There was no sermon, no "I told you so," no warning, just love, acceptance, and forgiveness. And there are times we've all been the prodigal. We've all been the wanderer. That's what the word prodigal means, is wanderer. And we've wandered from the Father. We've been caught in sin. We've been sought on our own way instead of resting in the Father's will for us. But God is a God of love and acceptance and compassion. If we'll just turn around and run from sin and into His arms. And then God throws a party. He throws a party. By the way, there were two people that didn't like this day of Thanksgiving in the parable. One, of course, was the older brother. You know who the other one was? The fatted calf. That was not a good day in the fatted calf's life. But you know what? We find joy when we find acceptance from God. Not because we're good enough, but because we have run to Him. And if you've been in a far country of sin, come back to the Father. If your body has stayed home like the older brother, but your spirit's been far from home, know that you have a Father that loves you, and you don't have to earn your relationship with Him. You just want to be with Him, and He will make it okay. You're still your Father's child. You just need to come home. Some of you this week enjoying the gospel meeting may have gone, "You know, I wish I would have responded last week." You can still respond this morning to the call of the gospel of Christ. If you've never been born again by water and the Spirit, time to come home. Come back to a loving Father, a Father who yearns for your heart to beat with His. If as a Christian you've been in that far country, it's time to turn your heart back to the Father and come home. It's time to make a step of faith to Him. Won't you do it this morning? Let's stand together, let's sing.